now entering a new forum to discuss reality, not illusion. Welcome to UFO Encounters Live with your Watchman of the Night Skies, Ronnie McMullen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of UFO Encounters Live, and I'm your host, Ronnie McMullen. Tonight I have a wonderful guest. He's been on the show before. His name is Dr. Roger Lear. He is the author of Aliens and the Scalpel. He has first and second editions. He has UFO Crash in Brazil, Casebook Alien Implants, and also authored Chopped Liver. He has many other books, and he's even working on one right now. It has been said that Dr. Lear is one of the world's most important leaders in physical evidence research involving the field of ufology. He and his surgical team have performed 15 surgeries on alleged alien abductees, and this resulted in the removal of 16 separate and distinct objects suspected of being alien implants. These objects have been scientifically investigated by some of the most prestigious laboratories in the world, including Los Alamos National Labs, New Mexico Tech, SEAL Laboratories, Southwest Labs, the University of Toronto, York University, and the University of California at San Diego. Their findings have been baffling, and some comparisons have been made to meteorite samples. Tonight, I want to take the doctor on a turn. A scientific doctor believing that alien implants are real, believing abduction is real, and now a sighting. Actually, Dr. Roger Lear has a personal sighting himself in Istanbul, not once, not twice, but three times. I want to talk about this. My guest tonight, Dr. Roger Lear. Dr. Lear, welcome to UFO Encounters Live. How you doing, my friend?
Very good. Thank you for having me on again.
You have not been on the show for a while, and it's time to talk. The true doctor here that takes out these micro-type chips out of people, and we have something new to talk about, something that maybe a lot of people don't know about, that you have actually seen a UFO yourself. Now, am I correct on that?
Well, you're not only correct, but I've seen a multiplicity of them, so many of them that at one time I didn't ever care to look again. They kind of look like standing on a taller building looking down on a freeway full of cars.
Did it give you the heebie-jeebies to know that there was something from another dimension, what have you, that was watching?
Well, you know, your initial feeling is that you're watching something that is extraordinary. And, of course, today when you see these vehicles, you really don't know whether they're projects of some governmental agency, most likely the U.S., or whether they're, you know, non-terrestrial craft that come from somewhere else, other planets, other dimensions, other parts of the universe, parts of the universe we don't understand, or they might come from here. There are, you know, great possibilities, according to history, that we were visited for thousands of years, and maybe some of them never left.
Now, you're the author of Aliens and the Scalpel, and my question here is, now, why you actually saw these UFO sightings yourself? I mean, this is not something that's hearsay. You saw it with your own eyes, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, and this was during the years of what? You saw it one time?
2007, 2008, and 2009.
So, all three times?
All three times.
And what about other people at this conference that you spoke at? I mean, did other people see this too, or was it just you?
We had between 2,000 and 3,000 people at the conference itself.
Okay.
Now, let me explain. The conference was in Istanbul.
Okay.
And with such a large audience and with activity going on outside, you just couldn't go tell the audience while you were speaking that, you know, there's UFOs overhead. Otherwise, they'd all be outside and not be listening to the speakers.
Okay.
So we took, 100 or so outside. By that time, the news trucks, the national news trucks, had all lined up outside, and they were filming all day long as while this was going on. So that was only one episode. Following the conference, a day or so, we decided to go down the European coast. Now, Turkey basically sits on two continents, the Asian continent and the European continent,
Okay. And
is surrounded by multiple channels of water. So we went down the coast, the European coast, to a small town called Kambergus.
Okay.
And they picked that area because UFOs had been seen there before, coming in and out of the water, and so on. So they rented a, it was like a motel, but it had an elevated area that was right on the beach, but it was, you know, kind of an elevated grass. A planted area that was quite large, so we had plenty of room to set up cameras and have a multiplicity of people there and watch if we saw anything. Now, in 2009, which I'll go to directly, there was such a full moon, that I personally thought, we're not going to see anything.
Right.
But the idea was to stay up from midnight till about 5 in the morning. And, look out over the sea and see if we could, find anything. And the camera that we used was the same for the 3 years. It belonged to an individual that was in Turkey. It was Turkish, and he had quite a flair for shooting UFOs. And it had a 300-millimeter lens on it and an electronic doubler.
Okay.
Which means that you can zoom to 600 millimeters,
okay,
which is pretty close. So we began by focusing on the moon and at a low power, and we got the moon in focus. And when we did that, we noticed that there was a small light that was below and to the left of the moon. Now, before doing any filming, we surveyed the water with binoculars. We looked at ships to see if there was any. We wanted to see if there was any oil rigs, if there was any light pollution coming from the shore, which certainly there wasn't any. The sea in that area is quite a ways across. And I gave you a couple of websites.
Yes.
Addresses, and if this on the website, you can see what I'm talking about.
Exactly. So are these when you looked at it? I mean, it what was the feeling that went through you?
Well, it came on gradually because we decided to focus on that light and then began to zoom on it, and we could see that it was not a star and it was not a planet, but looked like some kind of an object.
Yeah.
And then the more we zoomed on it, the more it began to take shape. It had a round front end, and it was shiny, and it was being illuminated by the moon.
Mm.
So, we began to realize this, it's not a plane, it's not a helicopter, it's not Superman, and we have something, an unusual craft here. So, we got quite close on it. We pushed on it until we were able to see the front end of the craft, which was round. And we thought that at first it was a saucer. But later the craft began to turn, and we could see that it was more of a boomerang shape than a saucer. And the interesting thing about it, for the first time, at least in my experience, and everybody else was there, including Jaime Masson from Mexico and a television team who also had their own cameras and looked through the cameras and filmed it also. We averaged maybe about between 16 and 20-some-odd people that all witnessed it personally. But here were these three ports, or whatever you want to call them, windows, apertures, and light was coming out of these three apertures, and you could see entities that were there, and they were not Rorschachs. I mean, they were some of them were, you know, the typical black-eyed grays that you see on bumper stickers.
Well, let's talk about this. We're going to go to a break and find out more about what's in the ship. We'll be right back with my guest, Dr. Roger Lear. Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here. Would you agree health is an issue in today's world? Altered food products, chemicals in the water, and pollutants in the air. People are suffering from heavy metal poisoning every day. What to do? Dun-da-da-da! Life Change Tea to the rescue! Life Change Tea helps rid you of heavy metals, toxins, and much more, leaving you clear, refreshed, and ready to tackle other things in life, like success. Learn more and get equipped. Order today at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us with your questions or orders, 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Hundreds of thousands of people have had success with Life Change Tea. Health should be at the top of your list of priorities. Get the best. Get Life Change Tea. That's GetTheTea.com.
Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
I couldn't help at one point in my discussions privately with General Secretary Gorbachev, I couldn't help but say to him, just think how easy if suddenly there was a threat to this world from some other species from another planet outside in the universe.
Welcome back to UFO Encounters Live. My guest is Dr. Roger Lear. His website is www.alienscalpel.com. That's alienscalpel.com. Doctor, obviously the author of Alien the Scalpel, this is something and a phenomenon that you really believe in. This is something that you've seen proof that there is extraterrestrials. So my question is, I've had a lot of guests on, and it seems the consensus is that the grays, or the small grays, might be part of a government project. So my question to you is, on that theory, if the grays are actually from the government, do you think it's possible, and again, just a theory, do you think it's possible that these entities that you saw in the ship, and you're seeing the ship, you know, in Istanbul, the entities that you saw looking like maybe these grays, big-eyed grays, do you think you were being spied on for the information that you were giving out at this UFO conference and many other speakers that were there as well?
Well, let me look at this your question that you posed in a general way. Are you aware of what an illogical syllogism is?
No.
Okay. Well, let's say a lawn is green. that wall over there is green, so therefore that wall is a lawn.
Okay. All right. Not true, but okay.
That what you propose is absolutely preposterous.
Okay.
Anyone that believes such a thing wouldn't even entertain the idea. I mean, I know that we have cloning programs. We have a secret genetic laboratory on the island of Puerto Rico. If somebody talks to me about chupacabras or other entities, strange things that people have seen, yes, I'll go along with that. Experimentation, cross-genetic, cross-breeding. Monsanto, who takes spider DNA and injects it into corn plants, sure, we do that. But we do not make grays, and that's absolutely preposterous. The next thing, in the reference to the grays, I've been in 42 countries in 7 years, and grays are seen all over the world. Now, when we look at grays, to us, we call them grays. But when people are used to their own race, and they look at another race, for example, what we used to call Orientals, now, most people can't tell whether the difference between a Korean and somebody from Vietnam or China, maybe.
Right.
They all have, you know, similar features. So unless you're used to looking at those, you have to lump them in all one sum.
Okay.
In my experience, I think that the grays they could be a multitude of different races. They could even be us in the far, far distant future.
Okay.
And that has been suggested by people who have gained some respect, at least in my field, that have worked at Area 51.
Okay. So let's go with the theory that grays are not any kind of government project whatsoever. Do you still have a feeling that maybe you were being spied on or watched?
Not spied on or watched, but I think that this was purposeful and allowed to happen so that it was a methodology that we could get this information out to the public. In other words, just as if President Obama had posed on the cover of Time magazine.
Okay.
Now, you know, the question is, why did it happen 3 years in a row in the same place and almost the same time? And I posed this to one of our theoretical physicists on the board of ANS Research, and also another one who was at the citizens' hearing in May that I testified at. And the two of them came up with a couple of interesting ideas, that the reason that we saw this 3 years in a row in the same area and almost at the same time on the calendar was that they have the ability to produce a time loop.
Okay.
And so they're easy for them to do it 3 years in a row and appear at the same time.
Okay.
So of all the logical possibilities, I think, you know, I kind of try to stay within the realm of science. The idea of coincidence, you know, that we would be standing there watching them for 3 years in a row and then have them just show up, is, you know, the odds are against that are tremendous.
So you looked at these ships, and these ships looked like, it looked like there was almost cockpits from the, at least from the examples that I was looking at, where you could actually see the grays through, whether it be through glass or some kind of lens or what have you. When you zoomed in on them, did you actually see that looking like cockpits that night, or did you have to actually get the film and zoom in and bring it closer to you before you could see that?
At the moment, when we watched this, which was for quite some time, well, we were so enthralled by looking at the entities, we weren't really looking at, you know, concentrating on the background.
Okay.
You could see them moving. They were doing certain things. First of all, the film, the video, went to University of Istanbul, which was it's a government-owned university. And they did extensive analysis, and we spent quite a few days following their analysis on national television in Turkey, and they tried to debunk it. And of course, the university report was impeccable and said that this was not Photoshop. There was nothing hanging in the air, and this was, a reality. We were actually filming, entities and craft, probably from somewhere else. Then the video was sent to a videographer in Chile by the name of Mario Valdez. And this gentleman took the frames. Each frame of video passes by the lens of the camera at 30 frames per second. And what we did, what he did was he got what's called a frame splitter. And each frame of video contains two visual fields. So he got a splitter, and he split each one of the frames in half, so to speak. So out of 30, let's say, pictures or frames that you would get per second, he got 60.
Wow.
Because there's twice as many. So he was able to see things that the University of Istanbul wasn't looking for. And what he did, he concentrated on the entities, and he compared these entities that what had been seen previously, what was described by abductees, and he looked more at the background and actually visualized what they were doing while we were filming them.
Let's go to break. We're out of time here. Let's go to break, and we'll be right back on the other side.
If you would like to make contact with the host, email Ronnie at ufoshow@msn.com and make contact.
So lonely, and I don't
Welcome to The Other Side. You are listening to UFO Encounters Live, ufoencounterslive.com. My guest is Dr. Roger Lehr. His website, www.alienscalpel.com. Again, alienscalpel.com. And we'll also have the link on the website so that you can see some of the Istanbul sightings and the little news clips to show what's really going on. I looked at this information, Dr. Lehr, and it was kind of weird. I mean, you know, the way that you could actually, when you zoomed in on the ship, you could actually see after, I don't know how many, you know, times you zoomed in, but you could see these grays. They look like grays. They're, at least they're the big heads with the big eyes. And I don't know, if I was there, I think it would give me the heebie-jeebies, you know, because what? Why? Why are they there? Why? Well, obviously, they're there 3 years in a row, and you know their time loop and everything. I understand that, but why? Why there? Why are they not somewhere else? Why? And why so many of them?
Well, I think they were there for a particular reason. We have a nuclear physicist that's on the board, our science board for ANS research. His name is Bob Kuntz. He's a well-known, worldwide, quite famous nuclear physicist, ex-Navy physicist, and so on. And he has come up with a mathematical formula based on the, I'm trying to make this as simple as possible, on the decay or the change of isotopes in the material that we found in the implants. And this takes place over a period of time.
Okay.
For example, one isotope to turn into beryllium takes, you know, so many hundreds or thousands of years and so on.
Okay.
So we started out at the accepted age of the Big Bang and then looked at the time it takes to get the elements that we're finding or the isotopes. And he calculated that these objects come from one-third across the way of the Milky Way galaxy.
Hmm.
And with that, he was able to deduce or produce a time constant. And the time constant indicates that we're dealing with a race or races that are at least 80 to 100 million years older than we are.
Okay.
That, so,
and that's his theory.
Yeah, that's a theory based on scientific fact. You know, it hasn't been disputed. Nobody has argued with that. Just like at the citizens' hearing, we were talking with another nuclear physicist by the time Tom Vallone, and we're talking about the radio frequencies that are emitted from the implants, and I mentioned that they may not be actual radio frequencies, but could be harmonics of scalar technology. And then he, during the course of our testimony, he asked the committee for extra time. And he said, I would just like to take a few minutes to talk about what Dr. Lehr just mentioned, and that these waves that you're looking at, radio waves, he said, are very possibly scalar technology.
Okay.
And then he explained how fast a scalar wave, you know, travels through space. They travel faster than the speed of light, and you can use that as communication. Now, last night, incidentally, how strange things happened. They announced on the news, I forgot what channel, I think Channel 4 News, it's NBC here, that, and they wouldn't say which company, but a company has now developed a method of communications in which they can send a signal and receive a signal back to the moon in some tiny fraction of a second.
Wow.
And I know of one company here in California that has a scalar wave laboratory. So all these things in combination You know, we're dealing with a science and technology which is far superior to ours. So how could we, as human beings, ever have the audacity to think that we have the same logic as a race that's, 80 million years older than we are?
Who do you think, Doctor, in science, your answer, who do you think created this species, this whatever, extraterrestrial? Who do you think created it?
Well, I think, the more I'm with the subject, and I've been with it now for many, many, many years, and you'll find a lot of scientific agreement. Lawrence Livermore, for example, the laboratory, emptied out the nucleus not too many months ago of a helium atom. They took out the protons, they took out the neutrons, they took out the antimatter particles, the positrons, et cetera, the quarks, the other tiny particles, and they were able to look down into the nucleus. And what they saw was something that was so exciting and flabbergasting that it really gives you some idea of what we are and maybe what they are.
Okay.
You know what they saw?
What did they see?
An infinite number of geometric patterns.
Okay.
And what does this remind you of that came out of Hollywood not too many years ago? The Matrix.
Okay.
Are we, or is everything only in existence as energy and only put together in particles of energy, which we used to think were separate particles? We used to think that a proton or an electron was an actual part or a particle of matter, but now we know it's nothing but a packet of energy, just the same as a photon is.
Right.
Are we, and is everything only exists because we exist in the, let's call it, the mind of a super intelligence?
So do you think that, obviously we have a religious base here on this earth, and religion seems to be a bit confining. I just wondered if you think that if you are somebody that believes in maybe a creator, creation, that is it possible that the creator created the extraterrestrial just like the creator maybe created us, and not somebody that maybe poses as a long-haired guy with a white robe, but maybe something more, as you say, energy?
Well, let's look at the position of one of the largest theological organizations in the world, which is the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And under the direction of the Pope, Monsignor Corrado Balducci put a committee together to see if extraterrestrials were without original sin. And after going back into the historical literature and doing a deep research project, that was the official position of the Vatican, was that they are God's children, and what happened elsewhere may not have been the same as what happened here. So they don't need to be forgiven for original sin. And then, of course, the Pope passed on, and our present Pope recently started another committee. Unfortunately, Corrado Balducci also passed on, but they came with the same conclusion, that they are our brothers and sisters from somewhere else and are also God's children. We look at another organization, which is the American Muslim Society under the reign of Minister Louis Farrakhan. These are millions of people. Not just in the United States, but outside the United States. This is not the same Muslim religion or cult that's in the Middle East.
Right.
They don't believe in Muhammad. They believe their savior is a poor black gentleman by the name of Elijah Muhammad.
Okay.
And it's a totally different kind of religion with a mixture of various entities, but they also believe that UFOs are the wheels of Ezekiel, and that they are being operated by brothers and sisters from elsewhere in the universe.
Well, and I've heard that. And, of course, many of the paintings that go back hundreds of years have ships, even with Jesus being held by Mary, painted. There will be a ship that's painted in the background.
Yes.
And is this something that, do you think that this is something that maybe the Catholic Church is kind of trying to be the instigator to say, hey, this is okay to believe in. We're okay with this. This is a God thing. And so let's go this way. Do you think that they're being used for that?
I think that they're a front runner. It was always said in my lifetime. I remember this coming from numerous adults as I was growing up, that the church itself, all churches, have a wonderful way of morphing their beliefs as time progresses and things begin to change. So, I think that the Catholicism and Louis Farrakhan's group are, right at the head, because this issue is going to come out if we survive, and that has nothing to do with extraterrestrials,
right?
But if we survive as mankind, this is going to come out now. Steve Bassett, with the movement that he's got going on, has got a lot of momentum right now, and he's looking for this information to be released by some governmental source. If not the United States, then perhaps somebody in the United Nations.
But I think the United Nations and even the U.S. government, they keep the people on a need-to-know basis. They really don't want this coming forward unless they've okayed it and they have every avenue, covered. It's interesting how the Book of Enoch, which is really not a part of the canon of Scripture, but talks about watchers. Now, here's the question to you, is it talks about watchers on both sides. In other words, a negative and a positive. So how would that be defined, Catholic Church, or anything that you've seen, or some of the colleagues that you've worked with?
Well, strange enough that you asked that, because there is a series of DVDs that's being put out by L.A. Marzulli, and L.A. Marzulli is quite a an authority on ancient religion, almost as much as Jordan Maxwell. But the series is the Watchers series.
Yes.
And it depicts, each Watchers DVD, they're up to watch now. Depicts certain strange anomalies that are on the world.
Right.
So, well, I think there is definitely a relationship.
Well, there's definitely a positive and a negative, because obviously in abduction, and you've dealt with this, because obviously you have, pulled these, implants out of people. When these people are taken, they're taken against their will. That doesn't seem like a positive manner, does it, to you, Doctor?
Yes and no.
Okay. You would like to be taken against your will and raped?
No, I wouldn't like to be taken against my will, and as far as I know, that no abductee has ever claimed they've been raped.
Well, to me, if you're dealing with sexual things, that's a pretty private thing. I mean, if we do that here on this earth, we're locked up. So how come there?
Well, we aren't. We're locked up if we do it to each other, but we've been doing it to lower life forms for hundreds of years. Do you think that when we take a fish out of the ocean and tag them and do things, or take salmon eggs and so on and then put them back, we're going to explain to that fish what we're doing?
No, I agree with you. So, does that make it right? In other words, just because they're so... In fact, we're going to go to the break, so I'm going to ask you this on the other side. We'll be right back with my guest, Dr. Roger Leary. We'll be right back. reality check. There are many so-called health products coming out that are here today but will be gone tomorrow. They're fads, they're hype, and a lot of gimmick. Life Change Tea is no fad. We've been around for years and we've been slowly growing, and our products have attracted loyal customers. Why? Because our products work. Cleansing your body, losing weight, more energy, and better overall health. And you might ask, says who? Our customers say. A company shows its colors with how many people reorder the product. So don't be afraid. We're the real deal. Log on to GetTheTea.com and read all the testimonies. In fact, log on and order at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. There's no call centers, just a friendly operator. 928-308-0408. 0408. Once again, 928-308-0408. Welcome back to the show, the last segment of UFO Encounters Live, and my guest is Dr. Roger Lear. His website, www.alienscalpel.com. That's alienscalpel.com. Dr. Lear, we were talking about some pretty interesting things that the church coming out and talking about, and we made a comment about, you had made this comment, and I really want to go back on this. You said, I don't believe abductees have really been raped, and then you talked about how we do things to animals or fish, and you know they really don't get a choice in it. So, and I agree with you totally with this. But my question is to me, would you call it rape, doctor, if somebody took you against your will and did sexual things because, and, you know, they're doctors, you know, at least as far as we can see, they're doing things for research, but they're doing sexual things for you. It may not be rape to them, but in my opinion, and then I want you to comment on this, it feels like rape to you.
Well, I can't necessarily agree with you because our definition, our human definition of rape has to do with something that's sexual. Is it not?
Yes, correct.
And I don't think there's anything that's been going on here that's been reported that's sexual. The insertion of a tube through your mouth, for example, or into your nose is an invasive procedure for the human body.
Correct.
The insertion of something into the penis or into the vagina is an invasion of the human body. It's an invasive procedure.
Yes.
But I wouldn't call it rape just as much as I wouldn't call the going into your ear or popping your eye out and putting an implant behind it.
It's
really a matter of semantics.
Okay, and I agree with you, but wouldn't you, if they're extracting the sperm of a male and the eggs of a female, and they have to bring certain issues to the mind so that those functions work in the male and the female, isn't that sort of rape?
Not in the human sense, no, because rape is an involuntary act done without your permission for a sexual nature. There's nothing sexual here. There's nothing pleasurable here. The mind of a rapist, we know, you know, from criminal activity, is one in which there is absolutely something wrong with the human mind.
Okay. So in other words, because these people, they may be doing the same things, but because these entities, whatever they are wanting something for reproduction purposes, in your mind, or whether it's semantics, this really wouldn't constitute rape.
No, no more would it would if they didn't do those things and, let's say, in some way obtained your DNA from some other cell or whatever, and then reconstituted a being or a hybrid or whatever it is they're doing. Or I personally think that the human race is undergoing a genetic change.
Yes.
I believe that we're changing from what was formerly known as Homo sapien to a race which could be called Homo noeticus, and that's a new human. And if you look at the children today that are born within the last 75 years, I really think they're not the same human as myself. And then you look at the happenings going on around the world.
Yes.
For example, a perfect example is the Middle East. Here were people that were less than 30 years of age who fulminated a war in Egypt, not with a gun, but with the use of the electronic media.
Yeah.
And that war then spread to seven countries in the Middle East.
Do you see us changing in a positive manner, or do you see us changing in a negative manner?
I think from what I see, I call it a positive manner with an increase in consciousness and more concern for the planet and for each other. Now, remember, if it's an experiment, and that we are undergoing genetic manipulation into another being, there are going to be successes and there are going to be failures. Now, I just had this conversation yesterday with a juvenile officer, and we talked about interviewing these kids who do dastardly acts that we never heard of about, you know, 50, 75 years ago, killing their parents or going into a school and, you know, shooting up their friends and so on.
Right.
You interview these kids. I don't know if you've ever done that, but you look at them and you look at them in the eyes. There's nobody home.
Right.
This is like the bad seed. So what's the opposite of an expanded consciousness? It's no conscious at all.
Okay. Okay. So, but that would not be a positive manner, would it? Or do you think
it's... No, those would be the failures. But in any experiment done by any race of any age, you're going to have failures and you're going to have successes. But I look at the overall world, and it looks like the young people who have abilities today that certainly I don't have or my parents never had.
Yeah.
I just hand a kid, you know, a modern electronic device. Do they go to a manual and
no.
try and figure out how to use it?
No, they know how to use it immediately.
Immediately. Well, where does this knowledge come from? Not from TV, not from the parents, you know, not from reading books. They know it, and there's things that kids can do that, unfortunately, are suppressed by the parents because they're embarrassed. Don't do that in public.
Right, right. Do you think that technology, even though, granted, you know, I couldn't even be doing this interview without technology, but do you think technology has helped us, or do you think technology has taken us back a bit?
Let me answer that by saying one thing. I think that this world is... now, I just learned when I went again to the citizens' hearing and testified there, I learned that from Senator Gravel, who was best known for his release of the Pentagon Papers, that there are 13,500 corporations in the world who run the entire world. And they are only owned by 10%. So that's 1,350 corporations that run the entire world. That represents a standard of greed which is absolutely unheard of.
Right.
Now, what's going on with humankind and the changes that we've been talking about, we've got to get away from that greed. We've got to change our ways in order to preserve not only the human race, but the planet. And I don't think that these entities that we were talking before about good or bad or the things they're doing, I don't think they're altruists, whether they be us or other races or whatever. But I think they're here because the things that we do here have an effect elsewhere, such we know as the release of atomic energy in the form of a bomb.
Right.
An electromagnetic wave comes up, leaves the planet. We don't know where it goes. There isn't a nuclear physicist or any other physicist that will tell you where it goes or what it does.
Right, right.
But they may know, and maybe it's not such a good thing. So they're coming here at least some group. I don't think that every group that comes here is altruistic or non-altruistic, or maybe there's some people or some entities that come here just to spend the weekend looking at crazy humans and what they do. You know, how do you know?
Yeah, you don't. I it seems to me, and this is what I've heard, now whether it's true or not, but I've heard that there are those that are interfering our very negative sources to, in a way, kind of get us on the wrong track. And the ones that are positive forces really don't intervene at all. You heard
it? Yeah, Dan, if you especially, I think, understand that if you look at the universe from a scientific level, everything in the universe that we know of, and boy, we don't know that much.
Right.
But everything in the universe seems to be in balance.
Yeah.
You know, you have a negative pole. You have a positive pole.
Correct, correct.
They're in balance. You have forces of light, forces of dark, forces of good, forces of bad. You have, suns pulling on the planets, planets pulling on the sun.
Yes.
Gravitational forces.
Yes.
But everything is in balance. And in order for balance to, in the universe as we know it, as I said, we really don't know it, but in order for it to keep functioning, that balance has to continue. And there are probably entities that are coming here from maybe other dimensions, you know, which it talks about in the liturgical literature,
yeah,
that are the dark forces, forces of, we call it the devil or whatever.
Forces of evil,
yes. And there may be the good forces, which are forces of God, but that's the balance of the universe.
Yes, it is. Doctor, it's been wonderful talking to you. Again, your book is Alien in the Scalpel, UFO Crash in Brazil, Casebook Alien Implants, Chop Liver. I mean, you have a lot of books out there. You are working on a book right now?
Yes, there should be a book that's due for release next month. I can't divulge the title of it because of the arrangement with the publishing company, but
sure.
I can tell folks that famous astronaut, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, has written the foreword.
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to this. We'll have you on as soon as that book comes out. Again, thank you so much, Doctor, for being on the show.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Again, I want to thank Dr. Roger Lear for being on the show. His website, www.alienscalpel.com. That's alienscalpel.com. Fascinating interview. I love these kind of interviews where we go deep. Let's talk about what's really going on. Let's talk about what people are thinking. This is something that needs to be asked. And of course, next week, I have a great guest coming towards you, Robert Stanley, his book, Close Encounters on Capitol Hill. How much does the government really know about UFOs? We are told so many things. We're told that they know nothing. We're told they know everything. We're told that they're still learning. We're told that they're creating. What is really happening on Capitol Hill? Is it all about Obamacare? Or is it hiding something else? Love to talk about that. So join me next week. And again, be aware of your surroundings. And good night.
Been listening to Roddy McMullen, your watchman of the night skies on UFO Encounters Live. If you'd like to visit us during the week, log on to www.ufoencounterslive.com and make contact.